It's ironic that I've chosen to do a podcast. I've listened to individual episodes of shows, but not many in their entirety. And I've never had the patience to listen to an entire series. So, can I really expect anyone to listen to mine? I don't know. Hello, this is Mac Duncan, and you're listening to Essays from the Middle, or Doing Battle with My Lifelong Crisis of Confidence, verbal essays on life, career, popular culture, and the constant need to remind myself that everything is fine. Why am I doing this? Why is Essays from the Middle? Middle age? Middle class? Midway between success and failure? Why is this a thing? Is it a thing? To answer that, I should probably explain who I am for those who don't know. As I said, my name is Mac Duncan. I am, at the time of recording, a 48-year-old high school teacher living in Phoenix, Arizona. I am married to a very gentle, kind, and brilliant woman named Suzanne. We have a dog. My pronouns are he, him, and his. Short of expressing my race or political affiliations, those are my demographic statistics. But it's not everything. For much of my adult life, I have been a performer, an actor, director, writer, improviser, puppeteer. Our calendar year shows the year 2022. If you have any awareness of planet Earth, you know that all of humanity is attempting to heal from a 2-year global trauma. This includes me. A consequence of this trauma, for me, has been a crisis of confidence. I haven't been on a stage in over 2 years, and I don't know if I'll ever make it back to one. I would like to, but I'm still not ready. So that's why I'm here. That's why this middle-aged man has chosen to record himself and his thoughts and send them to the internet. It is more for me than for what I can offer the world. It is to help me heal, to either find my way back to someone resembling who I was before, or to find my way to a new identity that is the right one for me. If you're asking right now, when does the fun start? To you, I say, that's a good question. You'll likely find out just about a couple days after I do, because I record these ahead of time. There are rules to this. Not just FCC rules, which don't entirely apply to the internet, or copyright laws, which I'm doing whatever I can to obey. I have to make rules for myself. I have to put up guardrails so that I won't allow this to become something I regret. Rule number one, I will not say or share anything that will knowingly, intentionally, or potentially cause harm to another person or group. This whole program is within my control. No one is forcing me to do this, nor is anyone stopping me. I could dismiss this idea of responsibility and assume no one is listening. If nobody hears me, then nobody gets hurt, right? Why then record it? If it's going to hurt someone, it will not be recorded. So if I have an anecdote about my wife or a coworker or a friend or someone from my past, and something within that story could cause someone shame or embarrassment, then I'm not telling that story. Changing names to protect the innocent, as they claim to have done on Dragnet, isn't going to fly neither. I can satirize public figures and speak honestly about myself, but I will not exploit regular people just for my own content. Rule number two, I will not exploit myself. While I may not shield myself to the same extent as other people, there's no reason to do harm to myself. I may occasionally engage in a self-deprecating quip. My wife really doesn't like it when I do this, so to honor her, I'm going to keep that to a minimum. Rule number 3, only original content. Plagiarism will not fly on this show. I will not pass off someone else's work as my own. I may incorporate samples of music, but I will do my best to offer appropriate attribution when needed. And if I quote or paraphrase, appropriate citation will follow. For example, I quoted Dragnet a minute ago and called it out immediately. Rule number 4. I will devote at least one segment per episode to AU Comics. One of the reasons I'm doing this is to raise funds for my comic books. So, at moments like this, I'll refer people to my Patreon page, patreon.com/MacDuncan. That's MacDuncan. But I will also take a few minutes to talk about the comics themselves, the process, the experience, where I am with the writing, what I need in order to move forward. Think of it as a sort of self-sponsorship to keep my own lights on. Rule number 5. Don't get too political or controversial. I'm fairly certain I'm going to break this rule a lot. I plan on breaking it today, actually. This rule has an asterisk. If I break this rule, the content will only be available on the Patreon page behind the paywall. Rule number 6. There is no Rule 6. Shout out to Monty Python there. Rule number 7. Everything will be scripted. This may surprise some of you since I've spent much of my adult life as an improviser and frequently work without pre-prepared remarks. I don't think that will work here. Back when I used to do live streaming, I would either run out of things to say very quickly, or I would spiral off into tangents that would completely undermine and lose my talking points. I do not want this to be an incoherent, inarticulate mess. Everything, even the words I am saying now, will be scripted, edited, and possibly rehearsed. I have no plans to have guests or to do interviews, which is fine because I can't even guarantee listeners. Rule number 8, have fun. Okay. In this segment, I'll be talking about the 2022 film, The Batman. This is not a traditional review, per se, and I don't intend to discuss a lot of details or plot points. That is to say, I have no intention of spoiling anything for people who haven't seen it. So if you plan on watching The Batman, and you haven't yet, you may want to skip this segment. I won't spoil anything, but it still may not make that much sense to you. As I said, last week, I watched Matt Reeves' film, The Batman, starring Paul Dano as the Riddler, Zoe Kravitz as Catwoman, Colin Farrell as the Penguin, and Andy Serkis as Alfred, and Robert Pattinson as the titular Batman. I honestly can't decide whether or not I liked it. This is not an objectively bad film like Joel Schumacher's Batman and Robin or Zack Snyder's Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice. Nor did I find it surprisingly satisfying like Chris Nolan's Batman Begins and The Dark Knight. Perhaps it's my relationship with Batman that has changed. Let's go back to the late 1980s. When I heard there was going to be a Batman movie starring Michael Keaton, I assumed, like many, that this would be a ridiculous comedy like the 1966 TV series starring Adam West. As we got closer to June of 1989, with more media around the film appearing, revelations that this was not a comedy, and Jack Nicholson, of all people, was going to play the Joker, it became clear that this was not going to be a Batman that I was familiar with. This was my gateway into the postmodern world of comics. The Silver Age, the era of Adam West and Super Friends, that was over. We are now in the era of The Dark Knight Returns and The Long Halloween, the era when Batman was on his third Robin because the first one aged out and the second one was murdered at the behest of the fans. In 1989, I was 15 years old. This Batman appealed to 15-year-old boys. Same with other anti-heroes like Wolverine and Deadpool. But Batman wasn't just an outlet of angst for angsty 15-year-olds with nothing to be angsty about. Frankly, the 15-year-olds who have come through my classrooms over the past two decades have had a lot more to be angsty about than I ever did at that age. No, it's what he appeared to be. Bruce Wayne, the guy with no superpowers, utilizing his available resources to maximize his human potential and to stand up to bullies. That was the fantasy. If only I were as smart, as tough, and as rich as that guy, I wouldn't have to be afraid of anyone. As the years passed and more Batman media of varied quality was offered to us, I started to look deeper into who I thought Batman was. I started to imagine the villains not as bullies, but as projections of Batman himself. The Riddler was his intellect. The Penguin was Bruce Wayne's false face of aristocracy. Catwoman represented his sexuality. Two-Face was Bruce's dual persona. And the Joker was what he feared he would become if he ever took a life. I even went so far as to develop a concept art for a production of Hamlet cast with Batman characters. When I look at Batman now, particularly recent portraits of the vigilante who really shouldn't be a vigilante, because nobody should be a vigilante, I'm reminded that I'm no longer 15, and this is not the champion I need right now. That's not to say that I don't like Batman anymore. I still enjoy Bruce Timm's animated series, which still holds up as the best representation of those characters. As I matured, though, I'm not really looking for Batman anymore. When this last film came out, I didn't rush out to theaters to see it. For one, the pandemic is still happening, and I haven't been inside a movie theater since The Rise of Skywalker. But also, there's so much Batman content available that I didn't feel like I was missing out on anything. So I waited for it on HBO Max. All 3 hours of it. I'm sure they could have made it to, 100, 120 minutes. As an older person with different priorities, I find myself more interested in Superman. I no longer want to wallow in anger and hopelessness. The person I am now prefers to look for hope. So, I prefer the CW version of Clark Kent as portrayed by Tyler Hoechlin in Superman and Lois, or the Henry Cavill version in the Snyderverse. That's not a dig on Henry Cavill. He did his best with what he was given. For the CW version, the one that gives us a Clark Kent who's trying his best to be a good person, a Clark Kent who just happens to be Superman, I can get behind that. Also, as a person who has been trying to invest in his own home life, I can appreciate a Clark Kent who prioritizes his wife and sons over solving every global crisis. There's always going to be a market for Batman. There will always be angsty 15-year-old boys. It's okay for Batman to pass over this 48-year-old man. And now, a word from our sponsor. Just kidding, it's just me. I'm going to talk about my comic books. Today, I'll give a little background for those who are new to AU. In 2007, I was going into my fifth year as a high school theater teacher. I had this ambitious idea of writing a new play for my students. When I say ambitious, I mean there were special effects, a multi-layered set, fun tricks with light and sound. Again, it was 2007. Heroes was one of the most popular shows on TV at the time, and had sparked a new interest in the comic book hero genre. The MCU was still more than a year away. My play, which I titled Among Us, was about teens discovering their own superpowers. Thematically, I thought this was a metaphor for the struggle of adolescence. Also, there were superpowers. I did make a few rules, such as no capes, no spandex, no flying. Flying was not an effect I could pull off safely or cheaply. Telekinesis, telepathy, invisibility, shapeshifting. These were powers that I could portray with a few tricks I knew how to do. I spent that summer writing the play. Got the students excited to do it. And my principal and department chair said no. It was too ambitious. And they didn't think the writing was that good. They didn't really say that second part. But looking back, there were parts of it that I'm glad I changed later. So, I put it in a drawer. About 7 years later, I rewrote it as a screenplay. I did not have the resources to film it. And I still didn't like the ending. A few more years go by, and I decide to reimagine it as a comic book, which is what it should have been all along. So in February 2020, I released the first two issues under the original title, Among Us. By August of 2020, everyone was talking about Among Us, the online game. Naturally, I was disappointed, but not discouraged. Dove chocolate can coexist with Dove soap. And nobody ever confused Marvel's Avengers with the British spy show of the same name, right? When I released issue 3 in September of 2020, I was met with a lot of hate from the gamers accusing me of riding the coattails of something that was more popular. Some of them even screamed that I should be sued for copyright violations. Two things. First, titles are not covered by copyright. There are a finite number of words in our language, and a finite combination of those words that can be presented in a concise way. So, technically, I have every legal right to continue with that title. Secondly, the creators of the game have no idea I exist. My product is not a threat to them, and they have not lost anything as a result of my presence. That said, brand confusion is a tough hurdle to clear. To minimize future headaches, I rebranded the series as AU. Just as Batman originally appeared under the title Detective Comics, which eventually became DC, Among Us is now AU. The two-letter moniker will serve as the brand imprint going forward. 5 issues are available. About 30 more are scripted. Here's the challenge, though. I have neither the skill nor the patience to draw the work the way I want it. I have a talented illustrator named Ben Worrell in Colorado doing the pencil and ink, and another talented artist named Fabio Bondres in Brazil doing the colors. These guys cost money. They're worth the money. Money I don't have. Currently, issue 6 has been drawn by the stop production at the color phase. This would be more urgent if I had demand for issue 6. As it is, I have only a handful of readers. I'm hoping patience will pay off and I'll gain a following. For now, a slow drip of sales and a little bit of savings is what I have to rely on. Next week, I'll talk about my first big con experience and what it taught me about the business going forward. Thank you for listening to Essays from the Middle. Essays from the Middle is a product of Carefree Wright Enterprises, LLC. Today's music created by Julius H. and Alex Grohl. These and other free tracks can be found at pixabay.com. Available episodes of Essays from the Middle can be found at Podbean, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, Amazon Music, Pandora, and YouTube. For early access and bonus recordings, please support our Patreon page at patreon.com/MacDuncan. MacDuncan. All material for Essays from the Middle, written and recorded by Mac Duncan. Copyright 2022, Carefree Wright Enterprises, LLC, all rights reserved.